Are you seeking guidance in life? Need a comforting voice to guide you through the ups and downs? Look no further. Introducing Petals of Support, the heartfelt podcast where life advice blossoms, hosted by the incredible Mama D.
Hello, dear listeners. Mama D here, ready to share my wisdom and offer a listening ear. Life can be tough, but remember, you're never alone. On Petals of Support, I'll be your virtual mom, providing guidance and support when you need it most.
Mama D's wisdom has been cultivated through years of experience and love. Her soothing words will melt away your worries and empower you to conquer life's challenges. From navigating relationships to finding your true purpose, Mama D is here to help.
Join me each week as we explore topics close to your heart. From self-care and personal growth to parenting and finding inner peace, we'll embrace every aspect of life's journey together. Let my voice wrap around you like a warm hug, reminding you that you are capable, loved, and cherished.
Tune in to Petals of Support and let Mama D's motherly advice and encouragement nurture your soul. Subscribe today on your favorite podcast platform and embark on a transformative journey filled with love, support, and the wisdom only a mother can provide.
Remember, my dear petals, you are stronger than you know. Together, we'll navigate life's garden, one bloom at a time. I'm Mama D, and this is Petals of Support. Let's grow, learn, and flourish together.
Petals of Support, the podcast that embraces you like a mother's love. Subscribe now and let Mama D guide you on your beautiful journey.
I'm Maddie.
Yeah, I'm Amber.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot.
We are the weirdos
in this town. Like a song, like a Santa snuggle.
Flip the switch and let the cauldron bubble.
Wow. Hey everybody, I'm Amber.
And I'm Maddie.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot. And tonight for spooky season, we're talking about the origins of trick-or-treating. Oh shit, my dogs are probably gonna bark in there.
Trick-or-treat.
I just tricked my husband. Good way to start off the episode. I would be like, I'm really sorry I didn't think about it, but it worked out well for the episode.
It's like
funny.
You made fun of me for ironing.
All right, Grandpa. Don't get your ironed panties in a bunch. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys.
No,
oh, man.
I feel so bad about saying, like, do you iron your jeans? Because I saw him putting away iron jeans. After.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's good. Yeah, it was me laughing so much that was mostly the bothersome part for him. I won't lie.
I didn't realize he got shit from it.
But. Yeah, our youngest daughter calls him old man. Would you like to spray some onto the veil? Yeah, so origins of trick-or-treating. So trick-or-treating today is... we leave a light on to invite people to come. We decorate to invite people to come. And then we give them candy if they say the magic words. Or because this day and age, we understand not everybody can vocalize those magic words. So, like, give candy anyway. Don't be a dick if they, like, they're like, oh, I don't talk.
Right.
You know, because you can tell when they're, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
anyway,
don't be an
just,
asshole to teenagers as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, they could be
I
out
so,
fucking shit up.
No, dude, I
they
went
trick-or-treating
when I was, like, 16, and I had somebody be like, why am I giving you candy? Like, I had multiple people say something.
Yep.
And a lot of the time, it's the older generation.
It is. God, and that's not fair. Things. Yeah, exactly. Because, like, I trick-or-treated until I was 16, and honestly... I probably would have trick-or-treated when I was 17, but okay, I wasn't pregnant
yet.
Fuck
it, I'd still be out.
Maybe I did trick-or-treat when
Except
I was 17.
Except for now, I have kids as an excuse.
Wait, I think I did trick-or-treat when I was 17. I got pregnant after trick-or-treating.
I would fucking do it.
Yeah, I got pregnant at 17, guys, whatever. Anyway, sorry, I'm just, like, having to explain why I had that mental, like, oh, wait, I did go. because my birthday's in September, and then I didn't meet him till December, so I did trick-or-treat that year. But I did. I trick-or-treated up until I had kids of my own to
trick-or-treat. Right, right. And now I have kids of my own to trick-or-treat. Same. Literally the same. So, like, basically, when they, like, the not trick-or-treating, but, like, what trick-or-treating
evolved from. Like, I just wanted so that we're all on the same page. Thank you for putting that in the right way. Like, I was giving a background of, we all know what trick-or-treating is, right? It's this.
So what it evolved from is people leaving offerings to their ancestors, yes. Specifically the Celts and the Irish and like, I guess everybody. I shouldn't even say
so,
that.
Yeah, because Athelblad, like, because in that's Mexico, why I was like in this, yeah.
The Day of the Dead, I'm not even going to
November
try and pronounce
1st, Dia de los Muertos.
I guess,
Dia de los Muertos, I love saying that. I'm not being silly, I'm not being funny. I just love saying that, Dia de los Muertos.
Well, because in America, you know, we do have the jack-o'-lanterns from the Europeans and Samhain, then we have people that leave the marigold. It's marigold.
Yeah, marigolds because of the Day of the Dead on November 1st.
Exactly. We're literally a melting pot. We
are.
And there are so many traditions from so many places. So I apologize. I didn't just mean Samhain.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, we can cover all of them. Because, like, Samhain is what we particularly call it, and we get our traditions from the Celts. But, like, all that behavior, it is everywhere. Because I was just saying on
and
our last episode.
The same time of
exactly,
year.
Yes.
Like, November 1st.
Like, like, right 31st. Now in October, we're recording on October 22nd. And so, like right around this time until the beginnings of November is that time frame where people are celebrating these celebrations of the dead. And it's almost always a celebration of the dead. Mm-hmm. And they are leaving offerings quite often of food to the dead, even in daylight. I know, my stomach is
just
going off.
I just had to
off.
Say something because of how good the microphones are. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't
in case
say.
You guys heard it, that was my stomach going, because I got a shitty-ass Papa John's thingy bowl, and there were stems all in that shit. It was horrible. So I didn't really eat dinner, guys.
But anyway, but what we know of, like, well, there's so much to say. I don't mean to just, like,
no,
because,
like, okay. Like, so at the Zhadi, Grandfather's Week in Russia, and the other Slavic lands practice the same thing. It's just not always called Zhadi or Zhadi. I like Zhadi because it has a Z in it. It's a D-Z-I-A-D-Y. It translates roughly to Grandfather's Week. And it's a week-long celebration of the fucking dead. Oh my God, Maddie. Okay, so today, what I learned, you have to know. I've been waiting to tell you until this, so I didn't forget to say it on the episode. Okay, you were talking about washing your windows. I was saying, I just noticed I need to wash my windows.
Right.
You know what I found out? Part of Grandfather's Week, one of the very first parts of Grandfather's Week, is you wash your windows so that the dead can see in and your lights that you shine from the windows can be seen out.
So we were just kind of picking up.
Picking up. I know. I was like so excited to tell you.
Yeah, thank you for telling me that.
Yes,
like, we were totally picking up.
It was. Yes, absolutely. Because with Zhadi or Zhadi, I think it's Zhadi. So with Zhadi, there's a lot of different parts of the celebration, but a huge part is the mum dinner, where not only do they make food like koliva and kolya to kolyada, to leave for the dead, because koliva is the food of the dead. Mm-hmm. Not only is it served at funerals and offered to the dead, but it's served to new mothers as soon as they give birth. So when they nurse, that is going straight to their child.
Huh.
It's an entire cyclical thing. It's like a porridge. It's very interesting.
Well, you say dumb supper or mum supper or whatever. And they do something similar in Mexico during the Day of the Dead. So I actually was fortunate enough to attend a Day of the Dead ritual with some friends who had migrated.
Love them.
Are immigrants from Mexico.
Yes.
And
I love her so much.
What the way that she explained it to me, and I don't know if this is for everyone, but this is her
family's tradition,
okay?
Right.
So they will put candy and food on the ancestors' altar, and then they go and they party, or they'll put them on the grave of the ancestors, assuming that you can go to the grave. Obviously, they couldn't because they were in America.
Right.
And then they go and they play and they party and they do whatever, and then they come back within a couple hours or at the end of the day, and then they eat the food that was left on the graves or on the altar, because they believe or at least, again, her family and their traditions, that at that point, the energy has already been taken by the ancestors and they're allowed to finish what was left over. So there's nothing
going wasted. Quote, yes. Waste. And what I read, as far as Jihadi goes, they take that food and they put it outside for the ancestors and the wildlife to come and take that food. Mm-hmm. But also there's a part of Jihadi where they go and they dine at the grave sites. If they, you know, if you're around your ancestors, you go and you eat there and you leave them food there as well at the graves. However, part of the Slavic belief is after 1 year in the ground, their energy is completely gone. So you don't have to go to their...
It's completely gone in that specific spot.
Right. You don't have to go there anymore because they've seeped from their final resting place into the ethers. And now they are able to go from the fourth dimension into the third dimension or back higher. Which I thought it was kind of beautiful because, as somebody who can't visit my ancestors' graves for the most part, that is very comforting because it's like I'm not being disrespectful in any manner by not going because the belief in the Slavic system is after 1 year in the ground, you don't go anymore anyway, necessarily. Like, you still can, and you can still leave offerings for the dead because you want to keep it clean. Because another thing that they believed is keeping the grave sites clean kept the eyes and the ears of the dead open so they could still communicate with you and watch over you. So if you let them get all dirty, then it must have, like, it covered their vision and blocked their hearing. Also, be respectful in a graveyard because if you overstimulate the dead, they will stop hearing the living's requests. And if you follow an ancestral path.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
Well, I do too. You know, I just thought that was, like, really interesting.
Haunted hotels don't
Because there's never quiet. They never have time to rest after somebody passes.
I have a question. This is really unrelated, but Halloween-y. So this lady on Facebook made a post. I don't know how I feel about it. She found a chicken in the woods, the mushroom.
Oh, okay.
On a grave, and she ate it.
So that's really interesting that you bring that up. And I'll go ahead and say this. That's been in my head because you did bring that up. And I was like, do I say it? Do I not? I don't know. I was thinking about having rose and mint ice cubes, also rose and mint water just for, like, refreshment purposes. Mm-hmm. And I have a rose blooming, but it's on Shelby's grave.
So what is
And she's 2 years in the ground, which means it's definitely feeding on my dog. So I don't know how I feel about that.
Because,
like, it brings things full circle. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know how I feel about that.
No, I don't know how I feel about
that. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Because, like, when the lady said she ate the mushroom, obviously the mushroom grew on someone's fucking... Like, it was, like, someone's grandma. Like, the thing said someone's grandma, and she ate it, and she was like, blah, blah, blah.
Can you get possessed that way, though? Like, for real?
Somebody was making... People were making those comments. Like, is that rude, or is it
not? Like, is that rude? Like, I don't know. And, like, to my dog, is that rude? Like, we planted those roses, so she has them. Like, do I harvest the petals and drink them?
Yeah.
Like, that is
it. If you guys are watching us on YouTube,
I called her Shelby Rose, so it's like a thing.
Right. If you guys are watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe, first of all, but definitely leave a comment and let us know because it is something conflicted. Like,
because
people often put plants over.
Right, exactly. And I think that fits in with trick or treating well because it's all about full circle. That's like why you're offering the dead food. But, like, where does the full circle end? Like,
is it more of a psychological thing that's preventing it from, like, happening? Because, like, for me, like, would I eat the mushrooms? I don't think that I would. But I don't think it's because it's bad. I think it's a psychological thing. Obviously, there's nothing poisonous about the mushrooms because they're chicken of the woods. There's nothing poisonous about the roses. It's just the mental image.
It is psychological. It's 100%. And, like, I just... It is. Like, if I didn't know, it wouldn't matter.
Well, okay, you know what I'm saying? This is not the same, but also, for example, I saw a post where this dog ate pumpkin seeds, shit them out, and then they grew, like, four pumpkins, and they were like, is it gross if we eat them?
And again, like, that's where I'm like, it's not...
the same.
It's not the same because some seeds need to go through the system in order to be able to germinate. Totally, you know what I mean?
My nail. So, I'm like, sorry, a lot of things. I had like a super long nail. It was driving me crazy. Go ahead.
A lot of things require the stomach acids. So, like, it has to be ingested by a bird or by a deer, mm-hmm. and it's not going to germinate until after it's been through the system and pooped out again. So, like, it is different, but, like, this rose has been feeding on my dog, and then I'm going to drink in. So, like, I'll be drinking my dog in, which I love and I don't love at the same time. I can't say that I hate it, but it's like, how creepy is that? Am I abnormal that, like, I'm even considering it? I don't know.
I don't think so, because like, that lady ate the mushrooms.
I don't know. I don't know about that either. Like, if there were mushrooms growing over there, I could not eat those mushrooms. I could not.
Yeah, because you know that they're eating people, like, straight up. But that's how mushrooms survive and how they grow.
That is right, yeah. But, like, I'll grow mushrooms on a log in my yard.
But that's not on a body.
Exactly. 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 So it depends on what the mushroom's been eating. And in this case, it would depend on what the rose has been eating. But the rose's main source of sustenance is my dog. So I'm not going to drink the rose after this full conversation.
It's very conflicting.
It is conflicting. Like, I love that dog.
Well, some people put, like, mint on their animals or, like, which is a horrible idea because it's so invasive.
Yeah.
But, like, or rose is a really popular one or, you know.
Well, I called her Shelby Rose. Mm-hmm. That was, like, her, like... Well, I called her Shelby Lynn, but Roz named her Shelby Rose. Like, one day Roz decided the dogs needed middle names when she was younger, and Shelby was Shelby Rose, and I liked that. I thought it was very fitting because she's named after Shelby and Steel Magnolias, and Shelby's signature color was pink, so Shelby has to have pink roses on her grave. Like, she almost always had a pink collar or pink on her collar because pink was Shelby's signature color. She had a pink Argyle sweater. And now a word from one of our fellow podcasters.
Hey, Ann Barner. Hey, Karen Beatty. We need a promo. You know, like where we talk about what we do on our podcast.
On our sugar-coated murder podcast? Like how we love to bake and talk about murder?
That's what we need to talk about.
There you go.
I think we've talked about it. Y'all find us on all your favorite listening apps.
Stay sweet.
And don't murder.
Because if you kill people...
we will talk about you.
So anyway, trick-or-treating is all about honoring the dead.
And then Christianity and Catholicism came around, yeah. And they were like, we need to get in on this.
Right.
So they created All Saints Day, which is what? Is it November 1st or November 3rd?
No, 1st. Yeah, it's like, because it's All Hallows Eve, yes. So, right? And then All Hallows Day, which evolved into or is the exact same thing as All Saints Day.
Okay. So then basically what poor people would do is they would go to rich people's houses and they would be like, please, sir, may I have some food?
Soul cakes.
Soul cakes, yeah, specifically.
Yes.
Or if you have any, like, beans or something.
We're just hungry. We're fucking hungry because we work for you and you don't give us shit.
We'll pray for your family.
Yeah.
And they didn't only just pray. Like, it eventually evolved into, we're going to do...
like, doing tricks and we're going to...
Which is so degrading to the
it
poor.
It is so degrading.
To the poor.
And so they put on silly costumes.
He's like, look, I took my finger off. Woo, I can't do it.
No, because they'd be like, witchcraft.
Oh, God.
Bend the witch. And they're like, no, we're just hungry. Please.
We're just hungry,
Don't burn us. We have no water in us because there's no potable water around here. We're going to go up quickly.
They also would sing. So it was very similar to caroling.
Right, which I do. And like... the two, like, as we'll see at Yule, or as we saw last year in our Yule episodes and our Samhain episodes, they're so similar it's like, this is fall Halloween, and that's winter Halloween. And then in at Beltane, we get spring Halloween. We get so many Halloweens if you do it right.
But, like, Yule and Halloween, they're just like this.
They are, because the spirits are roaming the earth.
Well, and people don't see that nowadays, because unfortunately...
back then, they were ghost stories.
Oh, absolutely. Back then, it was a thing. But, like, nowadays, with modern pop culture, Christmas is happy and bright and beautiful, and Halloween is dark and scary, when really Halloween's supposed to be bright and
beautiful. This is Halloween, Halloween. Sorry, I've been listening to a Halloween playlist, guys.
both holidays are supposed to be bright to in
Yule provide light for the dead and
the darkest,
represent exactly represent the sun in the darkest time of the year, because we have to have a visual reminder for our own spirit, literally for our soul's sake. We have to have a visual reminder of the fact that the sun will come out and the light will return, which is why it is so important for you to decorate. Listen to our last episode. Should have gone on this rant in that one. But decorating and celebrating Halloween, giving into the traditions, and Yule, it's very important. The light is important, not only for the old gods and the traditions that these things feed into, but it's important for our own souls, because we need the light. We literally need the light at Christmas time. Those lights help us. They help us mentally and emotionally, yeah, even if we don't realize it.
I was going to say, a lot of people suffer with seasonal depression. Mm-hmm. And while I think that was always a thing, I think that, you know, when people embrace the light during this time of year, maybe it was less of a thing because we're reminded physically by seeing it, the light that will return again.
Yes. And also the light represents the lives and the lives of those we have lost. So at Aflablot, or I'm sorry, Vertinitor. No, Weiterniter, Aflablot. Damn it, I can't remember if I've said the word right or not. Check out pagangets.org. She's got that information there. But at their mom supper, when they set a space for the dead, they set a place for the dead. They put the food on those plates. They put a candle in the food to represent the light of that person's life.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It is. And when they're done eating, they take that food outside as an offering to the spirits and to the animals.
If we did a Samhain thing and got together, I think that would be great.
I think so.
Maybe each family could do it.
Could do one? Yes, I love that.
Just one to, like, represent all of them, because there's no way we could do all of it. But right. I would love that. That is beautiful.
I thought so, too. I wanted to share that with you, because I thought you'd enjoy that.
I mean, we could use, like, a little birthday candle. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, that is specifically for the Swedish path. I don't know if the other paths in the Norse pantheon are the same or not, but this woman is like Swedish, and I am Swedish.
You know, I consider myself eclectic.
Yeah, so you can like totally, exactly.
It's the same thing with last year.
I don't mean to be presumptive.
No, I totally did. It's the same thing with last year when we were learning about the wild hunt, and I was like, oh my God, giving offerings to Odin and Freya as opposed to Santa.
Yeah, and I'm honestly, like, I told Corey, I was like, I'm going to make my Koliva again and go put it out for the dead. And he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, you don't remember that porridge that I made that nobody ate?
Can we make it together? Because
yes,
I loved it. Leftovers was not good. Not good. I did not.
No, we didn't eat this. This was not something we ate. The Koliva is not what we ate.
Never mind.
Yeah, this is a weird porridge thing. The Yule lice, right? Yes, that was so good. No, this porridge is made from, like, I don't know.
You said, like, it had, like, nuts or, like, berries.
Like, weird. It has, like, weird stuff and dried berries and, like, you can put raisins in. I did not put raisins in because I do not like raisins. And I like to think that my ancestors agree, no raisins.
I'm not a fan of raisins.
Yeah, no. But I put, plus, raisins can be bad for animals. And I was leaving it outside.
Yeah.
So I did not want to poison any of my local animals. But everything else was like barley and like unrefined oats and shit. Or not oats. Unrefined some shit that like wheat. Unrefined wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Like so like actual whole wheat kernels. Really interesting looking. And like I think rye maybe.
So like I made this recipe. Did I tell you about my
breakfast tonight? For us to eat.
Yes.
You,
I did.
Wait.
I made a breakfast, okay? I told you about my lunch.
Okay, I was going to say, I think you told me about your breakfast the other day.
I didn't tell you, actually, I remember, because you don't like cooked fruit. No, this is today.
Yeah.
So, like, I sliced an apple, put it in, and I toasted it on a in a pan or whatever with honey and cinnamon and pumpkin pie spice, because I didn't have ground cloves or anything, and that's all in the pumpkin pie spice. And then I added just, like, a handful of oats, which sucked that all up. And then I put it on a plate for me and my sons. And then I put yogurt on top.
Yeah.
It was like a sweet, healthy breakfast is what it was called on TikTok. And I was like, holy shit, it was good.
That sounds good.
It actually, I wonder if it'd be better with peaches.
I bet it would be equally good with peaches. Like, I don't eat any of these things, but I am aware of what would be good if I could stand
the texture. But, like, bananas, it would be like bananas Foster, I feel like. Like, it's supposed to go on top of, like, yogurt. So, yeah. like, it was super good. My yeah. kids ate all of
it. I bet it was really good. Like, guys, I just can't do the texture of cooked fruit. It's a weird thing. I've been that way since I was a child.
One of the offerings that I leave every Halloween, I leave two on my altar. I leave a thing of wine, and by a thing of wine, I mean a glass of wine, and then I leave a mug of black coffee. Those are my ancestors. Like, that's offerings.
Awesome. I work with my ancestors all the time, although this time of year I try to, like, up it a little mm-hmm. bit because I've kind of gotten lax in anything that I do on a daily basis. So one thing that I did, because, like, I felt like it was the right thing to do, so I did it. I was going through stuff, and I was cleaning up, and I found a wad, of course, chewing tobacco that mm-hmm. he had used and discarded. So it was like this nugget of tobacco that he had taken out.
Where did he after. Put it?
It was in an ashtray.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't just laying around. Just He's lying not on the nasty. Okay. I was cleaning up and I came upon so it and I was
sorry,
like,
I did not mean to be offensive.
No, yeah, no, you're fine. I'm glad that we clarified that.
Okay, so nobody's like, Amber's husband shocked. Is gross. My mouth was like,
No. It was in the ashtray, and it was this little nugget of hard-pressed tobacco together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is this used? And he's like, yeah, you don't want to touch that. And I was like, no, I do. And I took it, and I put it in the ancestral offering bowl. And I said, this is for the ancestors, specifically Corey's ancestors. Mm-hmm. Because my husband exists in this house, too. His ancestors are my children's ancestors. Mm-hmm. I want to celebrate them as much as I celebrate my own ancestors. Even if I don't have as much of a connection, I still want to be respectful and right, honor them at this time of year. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I take his tobacco and I put it in there, and he's like, that is fucking weird. I have, like, fresh tobacco you can put in there. And I was like, no, honey. This tobacco is... Not only is it tobacco, which is a great offer for the ancestors, it is tobacco that is infused with your spit, and your spit is infused with theirs, because, like, everything's all connected. And he's like, he said something about his muscles, and I was like, but where did your muscles come from? And he couldn't answer me, and I was like, because they came together from your parents coming together and creating you. And where did that come from? And where did that come from? So essentially, your ancestors created those muscles, and all of the stuff that went into creating that saliva, that is what is binding all of that tobacco together. Mm-hmm. So, like, what better offering to give the ancestors than not only tobacco, but tobacco that is infused with their own saliva. Mm-hmm. So they have a closer connection to the yeah. offering oh, yeah. and an easier way to access the power. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you are infused in that offering. And, like, I love that. Like, that just was, like, that is fully my belief, but, like, I love the way it came out. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because right. where did your muscles come from? Where did your body come from? Where did we all women come from? We were carried in, all of us, male and female, or, you know, non-binary, whatever. I didn't mean whatever in a rude way. I apologize,
no,
guys. I just
said
mean
whatever.
Like all inclusive. You said other, I thought.
Oh, I did say other.
And I said whatever. And when I said whatever, I meant all inclusive, and I apologize. That was my brain just, like, summarizing, and my bad. But anyway, all of us, not only did our mothers carry us, our grandmothers carried us, because all of our mothers, their egg, or our egg developed in their womb while they were still developing within our grandmother. Mm-hmm. So we literally have that maternal connection as far up as we want to go, right? But, like, that aside, where did your body come from? Where did it come from? Even when you go scientifically, where did it come from? Eventually, it came from the ancestors. Eventually, they formed you. Eventually, you are the embodiment of their spirit. And what better way to give them an offering than something that you have jointly used and enjoyed and imbued with your own energy, which is essentially their energy, which means the offering is imbued with their energy, so they don't have to put as much into it to get the offering through the veil. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just love that. And I want to share that with you guys, because trick or treating comes from a place of honoring the dead with food and mm-hmm. treats. Yeah. So what is your favorite way to like give ancestral offer? Oh, you what is that specifically for the ancestors when on Halloween or
that's
that
specifically
offering?
For my ancestors, yeah. My and my husband's ancestors. That's my favorite way to give offering to the ancestors. I do this thing where I light an incense every day of October for my goddess, which is the goddess Hecate, and my ancestors. Since she's a liminal goddess and she kind of is an underworld goddess as yeah. well. She's with them. Yeah.
And yeah. she's a psychopomp, so she's able to help the yeah. dead cross
exactly.
worlds.
Exactly, yeah. So.
Yeah, no, I love that. One of my favorite offerings to put out at Samhain is an apple. Mm-hmm. I do love putting out an apple at Samhain. And that is kind of like for the fae energy more than anything mm-hmm. else, honestly.
Well, it's so strong. But yeah. like... The veil is thin. It's not just the veil for the ancestors. It's for the fae. Mm-hmm. And by fae, I mean all of them.
Yes.
Elves, fairies, gnomes.
I mean, you say that. So something we haven't touched on with trick-or-treating is the costumes that people wear. And those have a history with the fae and the elves and the other spirits that are able to cross the veil, not just the ancestors. Because we want to be protected.
Yes, so we have to dress scary, spooky, or like them.
To confuse them.
Yes, exactly.
And they think that we are one of them, so they won't mess with us. Mm-hmm. And we are able to move freely throughout the world on that day, while they are moving freely throughout the world. I do love fucking Halloween. I really fucking do.
I do.
Honestly, I like... My newest way of celebrating is leaving out Koliva for the dead, but I have always enjoyed leaving out the apple even before I knew about Koliva for the dead.
Holy shit, Halloween is next Tuesday.
Yes.
I had to double check because I was like, wait, it's the 23rd.
Yeah, that's why I was like, we have to do something special since we have an episode going out on Tuesday. So... Can you think of anything else for Halloween traditions?
I think that's about it.
Or I'm sorry, trick-or-treating origins.
Yeah.
My
no,
bad.
I think that's
I
about
said wrong.
It. I think we
traditions
we
is
the
next
ones
week.
That we, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you're watching us on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. We're almost to 130 subscribers. It would be awesome if you helped us reach our goal.
Yeah, you get to see Amber do stupid little dances like this. Yeah.
Thank you to our patrons, Pam.
Death by DVD.
Melissa.
Victoria.
You guys are awesome.
We appreciate you very much. We can be found on Patreon and most socials at Witches Talking Tarot. We can be found on X at Classiest Wishes. So find us there and thanks for coming to Sit a Spell. Bye.
No.
Movies and feelings. Pop, pop. Bring Your Own Popcorn is a podcast that dives into people and the movies who love them. Let us preach to your choir or stoke your ire as we spiral down memory lane with cult classics, Jurassics, and other genres that rhyme with traffic. What we lack in education, we make up for with comedy, compassion, and camaraderie. I'm your host, Mixtape Majesty, inviting you to join me and an assortment of wonderful guests on fine podcast apps everywhere. Bring your own popcorn.